Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. I hope your week's rolling on all well and that you're just having a good time in the Lord. I'm going to step back into Sunday morning's message and try to conclude it tonight. And I've enjoyed this series, and thank you for your prayers during this time. And I just want to encourage you that the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. For any of you here tonight, that you, if you're sensing you're needing that kind of help, well, he's the one who can help you. And I pray that he'd just draw near to you right now and just claim that promise. He said, if you'll draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Isn't that something? If you can just direct your heart toward him, here he comes. Not that he's ever left you, but there's a manifestation of his help and his presence based on that promise. And you know, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if you're feeling abandoned, feeling as if he's forsaken you, you need to re-overhaul your feeler because it's telling you something that's not so. Because he said he'll never leave you and never forsake you. What an awesome promise. Well, we're in Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to go back and read the verses that we read Sunday morning out of Acts chapter 10. And I want to remind you that Acts chapter 10, the story of the Gentile soldier, centurion Cornelius, he comes to know the Lord. He's filled with the Holy Spirit along with his household. This was a seismic shift in the early church and in the kingdom of God. The door, the effectual door of the gospel was open to Gentiles. And for those of us here tonight, that means we got in. The door was opened up to us. And what we're seeing in this series entitled, You Shall Receive Power, is basically some of the outpourings of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. We started in Acts 2. We stopped off at Acts chapter 8. And Sunday, we were in Acts 10. And this coming Sunday, we should make our way to Acts chapter 19. These are all different occasions when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they're powerful, and this one's extremely powerful, and so we're drawing some observations from this, but let me remind you of some of the scriptures we looked at. And Sunday, we started with the end of the story, and I'll do that again tonight, just to refresh your memory if you weren't here. If you were here, if you weren't, then this is what we're reading. Acts 10:44, Peter has now gone to the household of Cornelius. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. I love that imagery. The Holy Spirit fell upon them. It's if you can picture like a waterfall coming down on you or someone throwing a blanket over you, the picture there is they become immersed in the Holy Spirit and his power. And it says, and those of the circumcision, that is Jewish people, who believed that these were the guys who were with Peter, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Why? Why were they astonished? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's God's gift to us. We should welcome him. We should receive him. We should want everything he has and offers us. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out, there's that word, like pouring water out of a basin, poured out on the Gentiles also. They had already experienced it on Jewish people in Acts 2 and then in Acts 8, but now on the Gentiles also. And how did they know the Holy Spirit had been poured out? Well, this scripture tells us that the evidence that signified that the Holy Spirit had been poured out, right there it is in verse 46, for, that causal word, has been poured out. How do you know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So here's a group of folks. They're getting baptized in the Holy Spirit before they're baptized in water. Right in the middle of Peter's sermon, the Holy Spirit just fell upon them. Why? Cornelius had already had that angelic visitation. He was ready, and the angel had already told him, this man named Peter over in Joppa, staying at Simon the Tanner's house, he's going to tell you what you need to hear. So when Peter got there, ears were open, hearts were open, and when he started speaking, they're just drinking it in, receiving, believing. And that's all it took. Here comes Holy Spirit. Boom! Hallelujah. Poured out on them. I love this story. Let's go back. Let's jump ahead a chapter, Acts 11, because when Peter goes back to Jerusalem, now the Jews with him saw it, so they can't deny it. So they go back to Jerusalem and give a report, and we're told that those of the circumcision, like, they didn't know so much about this. Verse 15, and Peter tells them, and as I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as upon us at the beginning. What's that a reference to? Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Now notice this. This is key. Verse 16. This is what Peter says. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? In other words, God did this. I didn't do it. But he said when it was happening, I remembered that John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So even this tells us that the idea that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when a believer is placed into the body of Christ. No, here Peter's clearly showing us that the baptism of being baptized with the Spirit that John prophesied about Jesus that he would do is what happened at the household of Cornelius. They believed in Jesus. The Holy Spirit fell on them. They began speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Peter specifically connects those two events and says, this is what John was prophesying, that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out on them. They were covered. They were immersed in the power, in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, and they begin to speak in tongues and magnify God. So, that's important. Are we placed in Christ's body? Yes, when you're saved. Any man have not the Spirit, he doesn't belong to him. You're placed in the body of the Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. But this outpouring is the coming upon empowering presence and power of the Holy Spirit to equip us to witness. And I believe if you take Joel's prophecy, he wraps around that the things that start happening when the Holy Spirit's poured out on all flesh. People will see visions. They'll be dreaming of dreams. There'll be prophecies from men and women. And then on the day of Pentecost, there were tongues of fire. There was speaking in tongues. There was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Here in Acts chapter 10, I'll just jump over Acts 8 and not revisit that. In Acts chapter 10, we have a lost man who is a God-fearing Gentile. Now he's praying, he's giving, and even God, the Bible tells us that God noticed those things. Those things came up before the presence of the Lord, and he was aware of a man that, of course, he knows everything, but that got his attention. Here's a man that's wanting to know me. He's giving his money. He's praying his prayers. He's fasting. He's drawing near to me. But in the Jewish world at that time, that's as far as old Cornelius could ever go. But Jesus came to rip the top, to rip the veil, to take the top off the can, so to speak, let everybody in. That was always God's intention. I shared that with you Sunday. All the way back from the beginning with Adam, it was God's intention to have intimate fellowship with the human beings he created. He had to reboot and start through Abraham, build a nation, and teach them through foreshadowings and teachings of offering of sacrifice that there would have to be the shedding of blood to cleanse and remove sin. Then Jesus came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world and became that sacrifice to reconcile us. And now everybody can come to God. Anybody, everybody, anywhere. The power of the gospel knows no bound. It's not stopped by a person's language. It's not stopped by a person's skin color. It's not stopped by a person's socioeconomic status. It's not stopped by geographic boundaries. It's not stopped by a family line. It's not stopped by any of those things. Because when he shed his blood, he became the propitiation for our sins, those who believe, not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Everybody can get on this who will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's some very good news. And so in Acts 10, God is sounding the dinner bell for everybody to come to his table. Gentiles are getting saved. And when we go back and read those early verses, Cornelius, it says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he had observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now, send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. And you can read on, and you get the rest of the story of how Peter was up on a rooftop, and he was praying, waiting on lunch to be served. And he has this vision of a sheet being let down from heaven with all these wild beasts and fowls of the air and creeping things, stuff he wasn't allowed to eat as a Jewish man. And the Lord's changing the menu on him. Said, you can stop at the barbecue joint now. You know? But the message was, things are changing. All of that had a purpose, but now it's shifting. Don't you call something unclean that I call clean. Now, he's not just talking about food. He's talking about ethnicities here. The gospel is for the Jew first and then the Greek. And that's the pattern we see in Scripture. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. Peter had the keys of the kingdom. He opened it up in Jerusalem. He goes up to Samaria, lays hands on them. They get the Holy Spirit. Now to the Gentiles. He's putting his key in the door, and God's using him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and see the Holy Spirit come upon them as well. Now, Sunday, we began seeing that the Lord is looking for those looking for him. We saw that. We see that here. Cornelius, his prayers. And that got God's attention. I'm going to move on. I need to get to the stuff we didn't cover Sunday. When things in the kingdom are shifting, the Lord will be speaking. He started speaking first to Cornelius. Cornelius had a vision, but he had an angelic encounter in the middle of a vision. And we went into detail about that Sunday. I won't revisit it, but God started speaking. Now, what we want to step into tonight is something else I want you to see, and that's this. Manifestations of the supernatural often come in clusters surrounding an outpouring. You see this in the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, I mentioned tongues of fire, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, thousands of people saved, baptized, Samaria, miracles, deliverances, a sorcerer saved. All those miracles are happening. And Peter comes up, lays hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Here in Acts 10, Cornelius has an angelic encounter while having a vision. He was receiving very specific revelatory information. In this vision, the angel told him, the man you need to hear from, his name is Simon, but his nickname is Peter. You'll find him, not here, but in Joppa. That's about 45 miles over on the coast in Joppa. You'll find him there. And by the way, let me give you his address. He lives at a man's house named Simon, who is a tanner, and he lives by the sea. He told him who he needed to talk to. He told him whose house he lived in, and he told him where the house was, and he told him what city the house was found in. He got all that specific revelatory information in order to bring about this shift and this outpouring. Now, Peter, he's up on the rooftop. He's praying. He's waiting on lunch. He goes into a trance. Unlike the vision that Cornelius has, probably an open vision, eyes open, yet he sees in the realm of the Spirit an angel visit. This angel's communicating with him, but people around him couldn't see the angel. It was that type of encounter. Peter's on the rooftop praying, and he goes into a trance. That's like a suspended state where everything that's going on around you is like time out on that, and it's almost like being in a frozen, suspended state where you are observing and seeing something that God is showing you right before your eyes. There's a visionary element to it, but it's a more intense, it's a more suspended type of thing. It's like one of those moments when you're trying to talk to somebody and you may be talking away and they don't have a clue what you're saying. I've had a few of those. Mickey has to say, earth to Eddie, earth to Eddie, you know. And this goes beyond daydreaming. This is having a revelatory encounter with the Lord, a visionary experience. A lady that was famous for this in the early 1900s was Maria Woodward Etter. And she would often be teaching, preaching, and in the middle of her message, while she was preaching, she would just stop, and sometimes it would be hours where she would just be like having this experience with the Lord, and then when she comes out of it, she's right in the middle of the sentence and finishes it and goes on. She had that happen numerous times. That's just one of the ways that the Lord manifested to her and through her. And that Peter had a trance. That's the word the Bible uses. And in this trance, he sees God is speaking to him through imagery, a sheet full of these unclean animals. You know, the Lord could have said, hey, I'm about to start saving Gentiles, and I'm just wanting you to get it, okay? Get ready for it. I'm about to send you up the road, and some Gentiles are going. That's not how God chose to do it. Isn't that amazing? God chose to do it using imagery of a sheet, like bound by four corners, let down from heaven. It happened three times in sequence, the same thing. He would have the same count. And by the way, Peter still had that part of him where he likes to argue with the Lord. Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything like this. He did that with Jesus. Now he's continuing it. And the Lord gets his attention. So he's thinking about what all this means. He doesn't really know yet. And then he's told, there's some men who are down at the gate. Three men have come to get you. You're to go with them, and don't doubt it. You just go with them. So now he's getting revelatory information. You see, there's an outbreak. There's a cluster of supernatural sequence of events that's happening in Cornelius' house over at Caesarea. Now it's happening over in the house of Simon a tanner. And God's going to bring it together, and there's going to be a Holy Ghost explosion. But see, to bring this about, you start seeing the outbreak of the supernatural. Like the Brownsville revival, it started on that Father's Day Sunday morning. And the Holy Spirit just started moving on people and just kept doing it for about 5 years. So manifestations of supernatural often come in clusters surrounding an outpouring. Peter goes with them, goes down. It's just like the Lord said. Those guys were there. He welcomed them in. They spent the night. The next morning, they headed toward the household of Cornelius. When they got there, Peter talks with Cornelius, and he goes in, and Cornelius had some of his soldiers there, had his household, which meant his servants, family. He had them primed and ready. I'm sure that while this, he sent these three to Joppa to find this man named Peter. He's telling them, hey, I had an angel come, and he told me, and this guy, they've gone to get him. He's going to be coming, and he's going to tell us what we need to hear. So can you just imagine the anticipation of that? After you've had an encounter with the angel to prep you, and now you're waiting on it to happen? So when Peter gets there, he gets in, he starts telling about Jesus. And one of my favorite scriptures about Jesus' ministry, we find in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all of those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's a summary statement that we have of what Peter shared with Cornelius and his household. And they're listening to this, and like, yes, I want it. Yes, Jesus, Lord Jesus. Their hearts are open and the Holy Spirit's just poured out. Now, these people have not been around. They weren't at Pentecost when all these people just started speaking in tongues. They've never been around anything like that. But the Holy Spirit moved on them just as he did the Jewish people at the beginning. And they began to speak in tongues and magnify God. And that got Peter's attention. That got the people with Peter's attention. And like, hey, God's doing again. He's doing for them what he did for us. And so they get saved. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then Peter, like, commands them to be baptized because he's thinking, well, Lord, if you saved them, then that means they qualify to be baptized in water. If you're saved, you need to be baptized in water. If you're saved, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is the Bible way. This is the Book of Acts way. You know, I know there's a new way that people have come up with, but I would encourage you to stick with the old way, because the old way is the right way and the new way is the wrong way. And so they encountered the Lord Jesus. They encountered the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it was a good day in the early church. Manifestations of the supernatural often come in clusters surrounding an outpouring. When I experienced the empowering of the Holy Spirit back in 1997, our lives started radically changing. Within 2 years, we left all visible means of support and income. We didn't know where we were going to live, and God led me to build a house. And I've told you that story, but we got the house built, and we spent our first night in that new house. So the first morning we wake up in our new house, I mean, pretty early, the door, go to the doorbell, open the door, and there's a lady that had come from the other side of the county, and she said, I need deliverance. So we bring her in, go into the living room, and sit down on the couch there, and I'm talking to her, and we get into it, and sure enough, she starts manifesting, and so she's kind of like all like this, and I'm trying to deliver her from this demonization, and so there was some manifestations of the demonic that were happening. Doorbell rings again. Of course, I'm busy. Mickey goes and answers the door and opens the door. Well, I'm in the living room. We had some glass doors that were closed, and there was a pastor from another church in town that had come over, and he was spirit-filled. He has opened all this, so he was excited about what was happening in our lives, and so he came. And he opens the door. Then he hears this woman in there making all these sounds, and he could see what was happening in there. And he said, "Hey, I'll come back later." And so, but before he closes the door, two young Baptist preachers drive up, get up, come up to the door. The door's opening. They came up. "We want to see Pastor Eddie. We want to talk to him about the Holy Spirit." And Mickey said, "Well, he's kind of busy." Then I see they're like all at the door now. There's four of them, three of them, and then Mickey's door. They're all like, they're looking in there, what's happening. That was how it was for us for a long time. Just those kind of things happening nonstop. When God's shifting things, sometimes it may be in your life when he's shifting things for you, and you become open for the Holy Spirit, you start seeing these things happen. It may be provision coming. It may be healings. You may start having dreams. You may start having spiritual gifts function. But these kind of, the popcorn starts popping, folks. Power encounters. And it's amazing. And I've seen this also on mission trips where people have been praying and waiting for the team to arrive. And we were in the Valley of the Angels one time in Honduras, and it was one of the most amazing few days I've ever seen. We saw so many miracles, people healed from cancer, people delivered from demons. We had angels in one of the service. It's about probably 150 people under this 10-top structure we were under, but it sounded like 500. It's like the angels started singing with us. It's just one of the most incredible things I've ever heard. And we had all kind of stuff happening during that week in the supernatural. And Jesus was being honored and Jesus was being glorified, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He directs people to Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. He makes Jesus real in people's life. Why? Because he is the very Spirit of Christ. That's what enables us to now enables us to be his representers in the earth. We represent him to the world, because the same Spirit that raised him from the dead now dwells in us. Now, I have an admission to make. The Holy Spirit seems to do a lot better job through Jesus than he does through me most of the time. But I'm telling you, there's always more with him. And it really comes down to us just being willing and available and try to humble ourselves. And that brings me to the next thing I want to share with you that we see from this passage. Humility and obedience allow people to be used greatly of the Lord. You're going to be misunderstood when you start getting serious about obeying the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about being nasty and mean to people and trying to show how spiritual you are by overpowering them in wrong ways. No, I'm talking about when God genuinely begins to move through you, the enemy's not going to like that. A lot of people won't understand it, and you'll have some stuff to deal with. And when Peter got back to Jerusalem, the folks that were two thumbs up and 100% with him when he left, now we're having kind of doubts about what he was saying, like about these Gentile folks. You know, like we're not used to seeing them in our building. You know, we don't eat together. We don't go in one another's houses. You know, they're off limits for us. We're Jewish people. But you know what? God was just throwing all that in the trash. Things has changed now. Everybody's in by the blood of Jesus. Thank God for that. So humility and obedience allow people to be used greatly of the Lord. Greatly of the Lord. And you can't be sidetracked by people who may not understand. Try to answer questions. Try to do it wisely and lovingly. But don't back off. I remember the German evangelist, he's gone to home with be the Lord now, but help me with his name. Reinhard Bonnke, yeah. Reinhard Bonnke, such a great evangelist that saw hundreds of thousands of people come to know Jesus. And one time some reporters were trying to grill him and says, well, what, because there were some well-known other Christian leaders that were kind of bad-mouthing Reinhard Bonnke, you know, and said, well, these people, what, you know, they're saying your methods are not, you know, they don't really agree with your methods, and they don't know if God does that kind of stuff today. And what do you think about that? They were trying to bait him, you know, trying to distract him and maybe get him into a brouhaha with other people out there. And I remember when I heard him telling this, and in his German way, he said, this is what he told them. He said, listen, I am on a huge gospel combine, and the fields are ripe unto harvest. And I am not going to stop it and shut it down because a mouse runs across the field. And I love that heart. Realize what's at stake. Realize the commission we've been given. So let's be a congregation where we're wide open for Jesus. We want whatever the Holy Spirit has for us. And we're not choosing to be wild for wild's sake. We don't want bizarre things just because we desire to be bizarre. I don't desire to be bizarre. I desire to bring glory to Jesus. I desire to see the genuine, authentic move of God's Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't need us to fabricate anything. The Holy Spirit doesn't need you to try to push somebody down. Don't do that. He doesn't need that kind of help. When He's moving, God things happen. When He's moving, you don't have to pretend. You don't have to fabricate. As a matter of fact, we just need to humble ourselves, try to stay out of the way, and just let Him use us in the way He wants to use us. But it's going to always require faith, and it's going to always cost you something. Humility and obedience allow people to be used greatly of the Lord. Last thing, briefly, in this instance again, they spoke in tongues when the Holy Spirit was poured out. We have these four outpourings we see specifically in the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, in Samaria, in Caesarea, the house of Cornelius, and then we get into Acts chapter 19, we'll see in Ephesus that there are 12 disciples of John the Baptizer who get baptized in the Holy Spirit. We'll be on that Sunday. But in three of those four instances, they spoke in tongues when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. Now that's just right there in black and white in the Scripture. And in Samaria, when they lay hands on them, we're not told exactly what happened, but we are told something happened that moved an old sorcerer to want to try to buy the ability to cause to happen to people whatever happened to them when Peter laid hands on them. Here, take this money. I want to be able to lay hands on people and see that happen. Something happened. Now, I would just encourage you that you can speak in tongues. I would encourage you, whatever the Holy Spirit wants. I've seen people that just started laughing when the power of God came upon them. One brother that I saw, one of my Baptist brothers, it came upon him, and then it hit some of the rest of us, but it went on 2 or 3 hours. I mean, my stomach was so sore. Well, I don't see that in the Scripture. Well, you can find the joy of the Lord in there. I don't think laughing's outlawed in heaven or in church if it's the Holy Spirit. But there was just great joy. But it's interesting that it was his mouth that was doing the laughing. You know, it was. I'm just saying, there usually is some type of manifestation. I've seen people shake under the power. I've seen people begin to shout, not stop shouting. You know, just get in on the getting of it. But don't build a wall to be able to speak in tongues, pray in tongues, and sing in tongues. It's number one, it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Definitely, we see here in three of the four occasions, it could be all four. We're just not told what happened in Samaria. But at least three of those four, we are definitely told by the Word of God that they spoke in tongues. Well, that was just the ability to speak in a human language, another language they hadn't learned. Well, that'd be all right too, wouldn't it? You seeing any of that? Yeah, I believe that's part of it. I believe that can be it. I believe there's tongues of men and there's tongues of angels, but there's tongues. And in the church at Corinth, they came behind in none of the gifts. I mean, the gifts were flowing. Now, they were getting out of order with them because they were enjoying the gifts, and Paul had to kind of reel it in a little bit and say, hey, you need to have some order, you know? And he lays out some guidelines. It wasn't to shut anything down. He said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. You don't come behind in any of the gifts as you wait the coming of the Lord Jesus. Paul clearly believed and understood the gifts were to function until Jesus came back. 1 Corinthians 1:7 brings that out. Now, I can find scriptures all over the place that show us this stuff happened in the early church. I can find scriptures that tell me that we should expect it to happen today. What I can't find is all those scriptures that say, shut her down, boys. I don't see any of those. They spoke in tongues when the Holy Spirit was poured out. So, Acts chapter 10 is pivotal in the life of the early church. And I think we should expect the Holy Spirit to move supernaturally as we advance, as we take new territory, as we grow in the Lord. And, you know, our heart should be that there's new people coming in all the time that are having their first experiences with the Holy Spirit. And our desire ought also to be that the rest of us don't ever get an attitude, yeah, I've been there, done that, check that box. Because Paul said, go on being filled again and again with the Holy Spirit. So, our ministry is to be marked and branded by the Holy Spirit. The manifestations of the Spirit should not be an uncommon thing where the kingdom of God is really advancing. There should be the activity of the Holy Spirit. People being saved, people being set free, people being healed, the gifts functioning and flourishing, not just within the four walls of the church, but reports of where you work, where you go to school, in your family. And these last few weeks, it's been wonderful for different people telling me. I know one dear brother shared that he woke up several mornings. It's like, I think it was the first Sunday when this series started. Then that week, he woke up every morning, new for him, woke up every morning speaking in tongues. Holy Spirit just came upon him, and that's a beautiful thing, and other people are experiencing that. Amen. And I won't get into all of the reasons why you should desire that, but the Bible says we build up our most holy faith praying in the Spirit. The Bible says that's one way we communicate with the Lord. You know, praying in the Spirit. And it's allowing the Holy Spirit to take the most unruly member of our body and have control of it. And pray what He wants to pray. Even though your human mind is unfruitful, doesn't have understanding or what's happening, in a position of humility and obedience, you are allowing the Holy Spirit to use you in prayer as you pray in the Spirit. And there are times maybe in a service when the Holy Spirit may move and a message would be released for the church and so forth. This is all in the New Testament that we study and that we believe. So yes and amen to it all. Would you stand with me? Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank Him for His Word. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask our prayer team members to come. There may be some folks here tonight that need prayer. And if you need prayer, come. We believe in this. We want to have opportunities to pray for whatever needs you may have, whether it be for to ask Christ to come into your life, or need to come and say, hey, I need to be baptized, or the Lord may be leading you to be a part of our fellowship here at Grace House, or maybe you need a prayer for healing, or some need met in your life, or some burden you're bearing. We believe that the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous people is powerful in what it produces. So the Lord tells us to pray for one another, and so we want the opportunity to do that tonight. Father, thank you so much for your presence here tonight. How sweet it is to meet in the middle of the week like this and just worship and dive into your word. And now, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move and work during this time of altar ministry. May needs be met. May deposits from heaven take place. May stirring up and remembrances take place. May the gifts flourish. Have your way, Holy Spirit, we ask. Have your way. If you need prayer, just step out right now as we begin to worship. Just come and receive in Jesus' name. Anyone? Just come forward now in Jesus' name. Don't hesitate. Just humble yourself and come and receive. Come in faith. Come expecting. Of our Lord Jesus Christ be strong upon your lives. May His Holy Spirit fill your cup to overflowing. May out of your innermost being flow these rivers of living water. May the fruit of the Holy Spirit be seen in your life. May the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest in your life. Now, may you go and be led by the Spirit this week and be witnesses for our Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. This altar remains open. If perhaps someone needs prayer, you come.